Our first scripture reading is taken from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. And our second reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, in the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard the deposit I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Here ends the second reading.
I invite you to stand for the gospel. Reading this day from the Holy Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 10. Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for sin are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If a brother or sister sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. This is the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Maybe see you. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones has to choose which cup would have belonged to Jesus and been used at the Last Supper. There are dozens upon dozens to choose from, and each seems more lavish than the next. He chooses the one which is the most simple and would most likely reflect the lifestyle of this simple carpenter. It is the correct choice. While there may be some problems with using this movie as a theology guide, at this point it is right on. Jesus is most humble, the most humble one who came to serve and not to be served. In this gospel lesson that I just shared, we have this teaching from Jesus on the kind of attitude we need to assume as followers. Jesus used a very simple story about a man who had come into his house after a hard day's work. Jesus offered a very humorous suggestion, asking if we, as the master of the house, would have had our slaves sit down while we fed them. The crowd listening to Jesus would have known the answer right away. Not because they owned slaves, but because they were poor and served others, and perhaps were even slaves themselves. No master is going to serve the slaves. He is going to expect them to care for him and his needs, and he isn't going to gush over their wonderful service and leave some large tip. They can expect nothing, not even a thank you. Well, Jesus says that this is the way we should look on our service that we render up to God. We should consider ourselves no more than slaves who are called to be obedient. When we do what we are supposed to do, we should not pat ourselves on the back or expect God to pat us on the head and tell us how wonderful we are. We should instead respond, we are as worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. There's no talk of stars in our crowns or of some huge palace we have waiting for us in heaven. There is just the acknowledgement that we have done no more than what was expected of us. I think this is the most difficult concept for most of us in the church to understand. In the Roman Catholic Church, there are many still who are having trouble with this behavior of Pope Francis. I love this Pope. He is the only Pope to take the name of St. Francis of Assisi, who lived a humble life of poverty. He doesn't live in the fanciest part of Vatican City. He eats with others and eats the same food as they do. He seems to take seriously his title, which means chief servant of the people of God. Well, we often think that we are something special at times because we are Jesus' disciples. We do what is good and right, so we must not, be better than others, right? Not according to Jesus. We have been called, you and I, to love God with our entire being, our heart, our soul, our strength, and mind. Nothing less than this will do. Most of us feel how awesome the task set before us is, and we know that we have not achieved this kind of devotion to our God. And yet, even if we do achieve it, we have done nothing extraordinary. No, we have only done what has been asked of us. In the same way, we are asked to love others as we love ourselves. We are told to give the same consideration to the needs of others that we give to our own needs. Most of us are pretty clear that we have not attained this kind of holiness even before Jesus reminds us that he isn't talking about just our family and friends, but about strangers and those we would consider even our enemies. And if we should somehow manage to achieve such a goal, the angels of heaven may be surprised, but they won't be falling down in awe and wonder of us. We have only done what has been asked of us and nothing more. We are just as worthless slaves. Well, some may conclude that God is some heartless, cruel master who doesn't deserve to be obeyed if this is the way things are. But we have to be careful here. Jesus does not say a word about the master's attitude. Jesus couches the conversation in terms of what we would do if we were the master and what we would expect of our slaves. The lesson Jesus gives us is about our attitude as servants of the Most High and is really not some theological treatise on God's nature. No matter how good we think we may be, we are to be humble and unassuming. Well, we reflect on Jesus' teaching about greatness in God's economy. It does not come from being the one who is served, but by offering oneself as the servant of all. There is a quiet humility in Jesus, isn't there, and his teachings that is very powerful. For it does not ask us to debase ourselves, but rather to lift up another person. The humility of Jesus consists in lifting up the lowly and not expecting any praise or reward for it. It is humility based on compassion. Humility is living in the truth of who we are, and all of us are wonderfully gifted and terribly flawed at the same time. We are God's image, and yet we are mired in the clay of the earth. From St. Paul's declaration that he is the worst of sinners to John Wesley denying his achieving of perfection in this life, though he taught it could be achieved, to the confessions of a Mother Teresa, we have examples of those who knew the truth of how to serve God in the way of Jesus. We are not above others. We are only servants who at best have done only what we were told to do. Well, my friends, when we can serve God and God's creatures with this kind of Christ spirit, then we begin to participate in the joy of Jesus. In this humble attitude, we are removed from trying to prove ourselves and to make ourselves worthy of God's love. In this attitude, we can serve joyously, knowing that we are side by side with the Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus.